You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Stand by alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. I'm excited to be here. I haven't been behind the microphone in about a week now. I'm back from the sandy, beachy desert. Sandy, deserty beach. Whatever. I don't know. Back in the air conditioning. Thank goodness. And happy to be here with everybody. Lou, how you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well.
Excellent. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing quite good.
All right.
That's an upgrade for Chris. Quite good. Wow.
Yeah. Not just good, but
hey. Quite good. Yeah. Sorry.
And this episode, as promised, we have a special guest. We have Joel coming back from Celebration Europe with a full report for us. Joel, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing outstanding. I'm coming from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. So I will try to speak less of with a Canadian accent, and I'll do my best.
Okay, that sounds good, eh?
Right.
I understand that Canadian accent.
I just offended every Canadian listener we had.
Yes. So.
But yeah, I'm half Canadian, and Joel's half American. So the two of us, we get to do this. Chris and Lou, it's not funny when you do it. It's just offensive.
Wow. Okay.
I know. So watch it.
Yeah, but I like hockey and I like Rush. I mean.
Okay. Well, that's
and
a good
I said
start.
Today on Slack, my first concert ever was Bryan Adams.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't normally admit that, but you know.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Bryan Adams does not seem to fit in with most of what I know of your concert going experience.
Well, it was a girlfriend. She wanted to go back in the '80s and, you know,
you
go, the kids want to rock. So
I got suckered into going to an Alabama concert for a girl. My ears almost literally bled. Like I couldn't hear for about 4 days afterwards, but all right. Well, do we have anything we need to talk about before we get going with the show?
I have something.
Okay.
That is just, it makes me very sad.
Uh-oh.
So
that quite good thing was short-lived.
Yeah. So on our website, randomchatter.com, we have a poll. Mm-hmm. And the question was, what was the best piece of news from Star Wars Celebration Europe? We have Thrawn coming to Rebels Season 3, the Rogue One feature, Timothy Zahn writing a new in-canon Thrawn novel. Mm-hmm. Alden, what's his face? Confirmed
what's his
for
face?
The Han Solo film.
Aaron Reich, yeah.
Wedge Antilles coming to Rebels Season 3, and then don't care, I'm not really into Star Wars.
Uh huh.
So we got a total of 59 voters.
Okay.
And
we would probably get more if we updated the polls more often. We need to work on that.
Probably, yeah.
But anyway.
And I just voted twice, so we have 60 voters in total now.
Oh, Joel cheated.
Oh.
Well, I would like to just say what the results were, because this is very sad. And I don't know if Joel's vote counts towards this, so I'm just going to pretend that he didn't do it. So, let's see. In first place, we have Thrawn coming to Rebels Season 3 with 22 votes.
Not surprising.
Second place is the video feature on Rogue One, 19 votes.
Okay.
Third place is Zahn writing a new in canon Thrawn novel with 16 votes.
I contributed to that one.
I did as well.
Fourth place, we actually have a tie with Alden. What is
Aaron
it?
Reich.
Aaron Reich?
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed for the Han Solo film.
Okay.
And then don't care, I'm not really into Star Wars.
Oh!
Each okay. of those have one vote, which, and this is what's sad about it, the Wedge Antilles coming to Rebels Season 3 has zero votes.
Aww!
So what's sad is that someone said that they're not really into Star Wars. That got
more
votes than the Wedge one.
You know, I don't want to mention Joel's name or anything, but I think it may have been an anonymous staff member who may have voted that don't care about Star Wars.
You just know, it's funny you say that because I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is she doesn't listen to this podcast, so she'll never know we're talking about her.
Ah, well, that's true.
Oh, awesome.
In that case,
trace the IP numbers, right?
Yeah, that's what we should do. Trace the IP number for the votes. You know, if I had let people vote for multiple options, I'm sure Wedge would have been up there. But really, it's hard to vote for Wedge coming to season three when you've got Thrawn coming to season three. And mm-hmm. if you are invested enough in the expanded universe that you care that much about Wedge, you are also probably invested enough that you care that much about Thrawn.
Yeah.
So you're hitting that same demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard to vote for Wedge on that one, but...
And also, I mean, Thrawn's probably had a much bigger impact on Season 3 than Wedge will.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I predict Wedge is going to be more of a cameo sort of thing. I mean, you know, maybe a short story arc.
Mm.
But...
Oh, you know, I have some Star Wars news, too, that's not, you know, before we get going.
Okay.
I've been trying to get my wife to watch all the movies, and that was one of her... You know, requirements of going on the cruise we did in January was to see all the movies. We finally saw the last movie tonight. She has seen every, well, except for the Clone Wars, you know, but all the theatrical release movies that were live action, she has seen them all.
Okay. And
I feel like it was an accomplishment to get her to that point. And, you know, she was actually asking questions and being, you know, into it, and you know, I mean, I can't see she's gonna be a fan, you know, she's not gonna listen to the podcast or anything, but she really enjoyed the movies, and she got a lot out of it, I think, so it was good.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Did she express anything in particular that she enjoyed more than other things, or
she cringed at a lot of the same things we all cringe at from the prequels. You know, like the, you know, oh, what a drag, and I'm beside myself, and all that kind of stuff. All the bizarre stuff that we all wish wasn't there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she didn't really have anything she loved about it, but, you know, I think she enjoyed the movies, and she picked up on some stuff, and she was asking questions, and, you know, occasionally she'd, okay, pause it, and she'd ask me something or, like, make a comment. I'm like, oh, yes, very good. You're paying attention. You understood that, you know. So it's good. I was very impressed.
Now, but did you explain to her, as she's cringing, that you can be a Star Wars fan and cringe? Like mm-hmm. what you just said a second ago, we're all cringing at those points. Did you pass that on to her, saying, yeah, that's a normal thing?
I certainly did. And she actually came up with some of the same things that, you know, we've all said about the prequels. And, you know, maybe, you know, I wish we'd got more about, you know, Anakin's fall. It seemed very quick. And she's like, I wanted more of that than the kid, you know, in the first movie. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's, you know, coming along. I'm not saying she's going to watch them a second time, but, you know.
Okay.
I'll see what I can do.
I'm very impressed. I'm very proud of her.
Yes, I am too.
That is awesome.
It took us 8 months, but we got to see all seven movies.
Took you longer than 8 months. I mean, how old is she?
Well,
not that she's old, but I mean, she's not a kid.
Since we started the process, I mean, you know.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's true. All right. Wow, where to begin here? The main thing that I want to get to this episode, obviously, is Joel's coverage of the convention and what he thought of Celebration Europe. It's a little harder for most of us to get across the pond to experience the convention over there. There are a couple of things in the news here real quick. First, though, Daisy Ridley, apparently has shut down her Instagram account again.
Oh, really?
Yep. I don't know the details. This just came across my desk, so to speak, earlier today. This is from Club Jade. And she had, you know, previously, she had shut down both her Twitter and Instagram accounts. And she eventually brought Instagram back. And I guess she was getting harassed over some kind of anti-violence message that she had. Oh. And she got sick of it and shut it down again. And I mean, I don't know any of the details. That is literally all I know. But if that's the case, I can't say I blame her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no point in being having social media and being, you know, ostracized for it. I mean,
right.
Why bother?
Yeah. That's the thing about social media. It's like, there's a point at which, why are you opening yourself up for further harassment? So, I don't know. But that really sucks. I feel bad for her. I mean, as a human being, like having to go through a situation where you have to shut off a means of communication in order to not get harassed through it. Just, it's sad. It's tragic.
It really is. I mean, yeah, it's freedom of speech and people can say anything they want to say, but you know, there's no room for bullying. I mean,
right.
What, mm-hmm. Why, if you don't, you know, that old golden rule that our parents taught us, right? You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Well, the worst part is, and I hate that I have to say this, but I kind of feel like it might come with the fact that you're a celebrity. Like, you know that any time that you're famous for anything, and be it you're an actress or a singer or just you're a, you know, a personality on Twitter, you know, I feel like that you're always going to get that, which I wish you didn't, mm-hmm. but it sucks too, because she was always very entertaining on her Instagram.
Right. And very open.
Her and John Boyega both.
Yeah. But you're right. You know, celebrities, it's like when you have someone that the public sees as an important person, or a powerful person, at least socially powerful, if nothing else, then if you get their attention, then you are being, you know, the eyes of the king are upon you, so to speak. Like, you are no longer just some lowly peasant off in the fields. You are, you know, now you have the ear of the king, so to speak, to use a very non-technological analogy. And I think that a lot of people, I mean, we see it over and over again. If you get the attention of someone, a lot of people seem to, like, that makes them feel more powerful. Like, I am now important enough that I have their attention and I can ridicule them and I can put them down and correct them. So obviously I know more than this other person. I know what's best, more so than this person that everybody else looks up to. And it's like it's you're not elevating yourself up to be a better person. You're knocking other people down so that you are theoretically of higher stature than those people you've knocked down. So, you know, it seems like psychologically speaking, that seems to be, I guess, the appeal behind this sort of online behavior. But I don't know. I'd like to think maybe these people will outgrow it someday. Of course, then there'll be other immature people to fill in their shoes. So, oh, well, welcome to the internet, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy yes. your stay. All right. I kind of found this interesting. You guys have been keeping up with the comics, yes or no?
No.
Unfortunately not. I've got them all. I just haven't read them
okay.
all.
Joel, what about you?
I'm up. Today, maybe 2 weeks, there's a bunch on my iPhone, which I haven't actually read yet, but I'm fairly caught up.
Okay. So. All right. I've been trying to catch up. One of the ones I've not yet caught up on is Han Solo.
Right. I read the first one, not the second one yet.
Okay. What did you think of it?
It was okay. Yeah, it's Han Solo. I read a couple when it came out last month. It didn't make that much of an impression on me. Frankly, I'm just trying to remember the storyline.
Okay. Yeah, I remember talking about it when it was announced, and the concept to me seemed kind of so-so. And you know, I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm subscribed to it. I just haven't gotten around to reading yet, and I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with it, but
yeah, I think the movie's gonna be better. Okay.
Yeah. Well, someone who is apparently a big fan of it has contacted artist Mark Brooks through Lucasfilm. Mark Brooks has, I think this went out on Twitter. Let me see here. Yeah, the Force.net actually has a shot of the tweet from Mark Brooks. He says, got an email last night from Lucasfilm saying that George Lucas would like to purchase every original page from Han Solo number one and number two. Surreal is an understatement. So George Lucas has been, it's been known for a long time that he's never really gotten into what has been called the expanded universe. And I still out of habit use that term to refer to anything outside of the films. He, you know, there were certain things for the Thrawn trilogy that he was approached about and said, you know, yes, you can do this. No, you can't do that. And that had kind of been the case for a while. And then, you know, he had other people to kind of handle some of that stuff for him. But he never, apparently, never really got into the books. He never read the comics, etc. But he is enough of a fan of this to want to buy every single original page from the first two issues. So that says a lot. I don't know. If I were Mark Brooks, I think I'd be like on cloud nine right now. I wouldn't know what to think.
Yeah, I think so too.
But that's pretty awesome. So, you know, congratulations on Mark Brooks. When you've got the man contacting you saying that your stuff is so good that he wants, you know, I would think a comic book cover, that seems to be the type of artwork that someone might be after, or maybe like a 2-page spread. But no, I want every single original page you did. So either Lucas hates it so much he wants to burn all of the originals, you know, the holiday special part two. Or, I mean, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lucas might want it for his museum he's trying to build, right, eventually.
For the what?
For his museum.
I was wondering about that, too. Which, of course, that whole thing's kind of in a state of limbo right now, too, because I guess it's not going to be in Chicago. I don't know where they're going to be looking at a location for now. But yeah, that, I mean, that could be the case. But okay, so even if that's the case, even if it's not for his own personal use, a couple of points. Number one, displaying every single one of the original pages. Keep in mind that when comic book artists draw, the page size of the comic book itself is not the actual size of the drawing. So these are much, much, much larger. I mean, these are on large easels and mm-hmm. you know, so the amount of space it would take up in a museum display, that's a pretty decent amount of real estate for two full issues worth of pages. Number one. And number two, even if it is just for the museum, and I put that in air quotes, that's still really impressive because that was selected to be put in the museum. Not other things, that. So that's still just as flattering.
Quite. It's amazing, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I just imagine being the artist and out back, you know, you're in Club Nat 9. It's a special day for everyone involved.
I mean, that's a fanboy's dream right there. So that's, I don't know. I know it's kind of a silly thing to be covering as a news item, but like as a Star Wars fan, and I know a lot of other people who've professionally worked on Star Wars, are also big fans. This is a cool thing. That's awesome. So I'm really excited for this guy. That's great. Let's see. What else do we have? Go ahead.
Eric, you just did like a positive news story.
I try.
This is amazing. It's
hey,
positive.
When there's positive stuff to cover, I try to cover it. You know, this is part of what's exciting about sharing our passion for Star Wars. You know, sometimes we have to cover what's going on in the fan community that's not all that great, because we're part of the fan community and to some extent we represent a portion of it. And other times we get to share exciting things like that happen to people and are life-changing and that are like just incredibly positive. And that's awesome. That's like, I don't know. I'm just sitting here with a big smile on my face, and I'm not even, I mean, I got nothing to do with this. I'm not making any money off of it. I have no contact with Mr. Brooks, and I haven't even gotten a chance to read the comic yet, but this is just really, really awesome. So moving along, let's see, I'm trying to decide what order to take these. Well, we'll take this one next, I guess. I remember a few years back, many years back, that during a census in the UK, so many people had put Jedi as their chosen religion that the paperwork had to actually account for it. Like it was officially recognized as a religion based on the fact that so many people in the census had claimed it as their religion. I don't know all of the details. Maybe one of our listeners in the UK can clarify that for me. But that was kind of a cool little thing there, I thought, both as a nod to Star Wars and the fact that, you know, maybe these people who don't necessarily have a particular theology that they believe in can at least respect the philosophical teachings of this philosophy that's presented in the film, which kind of reflects a lot of different world religions. And at least there's something that they look to as a sense of inner guidance when they're making decisions in their lives and they're trying to, trying to be a better part of the world around them. So, you know, that's a pretty cool thing. However, apparently the same situation is happening in Australia, and it's causing a little bit of controversy. So, the country is going, this, by the way, is coming courtesy of io9.com, and this is a direct quote. The country will hold their national census on August 9th, and a group of people is begging their fellow citizens not to put Jedi down as their religion. Apparently, on the 2011 census, over 64,000 Australians put down Jedi. In 2006, there were 58,000. So, you know, that's another 6,000 jump. That's pretty significant. And the problem is that this is a large enough number that there is a group called the Atheist Foundation of Australia, and they are the ones trying to get people not to put this down. They feel people are putting it down as a joke, and the problem is if this officially gets recognized as being a religion, then the overall, quote, religious population of Australia will be represented as a higher percentage than what is actually accurate. And therefore, a certain portion of the government funding that would go toward religion, religious groups, anything dealing with religion, would be higher than what would be proportionally appropriate. And they're arguing that a lot of the people who are probably putting down Jedi just to be cute or as a joke or because it's a philosophical belief or whatever, mm-hmm. They're not necessarily religious. I mean, sure, it's a philosophy, but that's different from a theology. And it's misrepresenting the actual statistics, of which that's the purpose of a census. So it, and we now have someone in the chat room named Jedi Religion. I suppose we should ask their opinion on it. I don't know. I mean, this is, it's an interesting kind of scenario. It's cool, but then is it actually potentially detrimental to you know, the census taking? The point, again, the point of a census is to get statistics and numbers that represent the country, and these are important.
Well, it raises the question, you know, what do the SIP think of it, all two of them?
Yeah.
Good point, Joel.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess there needs to be a Sith uprising in Australia, and then they will be equally represented as well. I don't know. I'd be curious as to what our listeners think of that. I mean, like, I guess I think it's kind of cute because, you know, I guess there's a part of me that feels like it's not really the government's business what religion I am anyway. And yet I have no problem telling people what religion I am.
Yeah.
And so there's this kind of this yin and yang aspect of my opinion on this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I have no problem with it until it belittle somebody else's, you know, belief.
Right.
If it, you know, if you just, you know, find it, you know, I think it's kind of cool. But if somebody else takes real offense to that, then, you know, I mean, religion is a pretty serious thing to a lot of people. And if it's making somebody else feel bad about that, I think that's something that should be taken into consideration. But
yeah, well, I can understand.
Honestly, we take things way too seriously these days, anyways. But
well, yeah, there's that, but. I guess to me, there's a difference between, again, from a philosophy and a theology. And I guess, like, Scientology is another thing for me. And I got to be careful what I say here because I don't want to get sued and disappear off the face of the planet all of a sudden. But regardless of what your opinions of the so-called antics of Scientology are, and regardless of what you think of the belief structure of Scientology, everything that I've seen of it so far, it's not a theology. It's a made up thing, and it's not, I don't know. Like it's not the same. And even more so, Jedi, this is more of a philosophy. It's not, I mean, there's no deity involved. It's a different thing. So
yeah, I'd agree. It's definitely more of a philosophy than a religion.
Right. So I guess in that case, I don't know that it really should be counted. And I guess I can see where, for the purposes of census taking, maybe it should be discounted.
Okay. Although, I need to chirp in here.
Okay.
Because let's just talk serious for a second. Okay. What does the census show? It shows what's happening in the society at a certain point.
Correct.
By measurable, you know, criteria, you know, things like how many people practice a certain religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a significant sample size of people who are putting Jedi down, that speaks volumes about the society or the country. And that's of use for social scientists and historians.
That is very true. That is very true. And in that regard, I support them putting it down. But again, is it a religion? Is it, in other words, I agree with the fact that it should be counted if this is a factor in the lives of this many people and how they're going about their day-to-day lives. Let's, for the sake of argument, let's say that these people who are putting it down aren't putting it down jokingly. They are actually saying, listen, I try to follow the light side of morality or ethics or whatever it is and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So this is something that these people actually do take seriously. I agree with you, Joel, that should be reflected somewhere, but I guess I have a question about the taxonomy, is this being properly categorized under religion, or should it be categorized otherwise?
Well, Well, that's a fair point, but there's an easy out if you just want to, you know, address the issue. Is that is, you know, the Jedi religion in Australia, is it recognized as a religion in terms of tax law, right? Do they get tax write-offs because they practice the Jedi religion? Is there a church or a temple of some type or a mosque or some sort of entity that is organized? Because usually when you say a religion, it's organized religion as opposed to your own self-beliefs.
Well, that's true. And I was about to say, well, but isn't it things like the census that then would get something recognized? But I guess what you just said about, you know, are there places of worship of people congregating and actually participating in this religion? And if not, then, you know, maybe it is more of a personal belief. Right now, apparently, when you put Jedi down in the census, it gets classified as, quote, not defined. It is a not defined religion. This Atheist Foundation of Australia is arguing that that is different than, quote, no religion. And so that's where they're concerned about the semantics. But you know, this is one of those things where once you get politics involved, everything just goes down the drain, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, but it's hard to divorce that, right? You know, it's the Jedi, but the same, you know, census, I'm guessing, does it have Wicca? You know, is there room for pagans? You know,
right?
It's where you draw the line,
right?
You know, and I think that's not the purpose of the census. And I think what's happening there is that you have people playing semantics and rhetoric over language, because it's extremely important in terms of framing the way we think about things. And that has a whole, you know, whack of consequences in terms of governing, in terms of the culture, in terms of how we get along with each other.
Right. Right. And that's really what this boils down to. Again, because this is in an official census, this actually does matter. This does have a measurable effect internally within government. Regardless of what that effect may be, it is measurable. It is an actual effect. So anyway, so regardless of what our listeners' personal opinions are on this topic, at least now they're aware that that's out there. So this is another way in which Star Wars is actually affecting our day-to-day lives, and to some extent, perhaps the government.
Okay, Nate, I have a question, and I know you guys probably can't answer it. In Australia, you have to vote. It's mandatory. If you don't vote, you get fined. Is the same thing for the census in Australia? Then in Canada, you have to go to the census, or technically you might be fined, which they've never enforced.
Right.
Because if the census is asking for your religion and they won't accept your religion on face value, that's an issue.
Yeah. I don't know what the rule or what the law is in Australia for that. I believe the U.S., it's the same as what you just said it is in Canada. It's generally not actually enforced, but they are supposed to fine you if you do not participate in the census. It is actually required by law that you do so. I don't know about Australia. So, all right, moving on. One last thing. I guess we've got kind of two things before we move on to celebration. I'll try to make them quick, and we'll see which, if either, you guys have any comments on. Two little tidbits. One is that Alden Ehrenreich, and I assume I'm saying that correctly. I'm not sure. Chris, I may have been incorrectly correcting you earlier. But
I'll just blame you next time someone corrects me.
Well, there you go. That's what I would do. He's been signed for 3 films. So, of course...
Really?
What's the first thing that everybody on the interweb said? We're getting a Han Solo trilogy! Which obviously is not necessarily the case. So then the more down-to-earth people said, okay, he's contracted to appear in three films. He could have a cameo in Rogue One, and that would count toward one of his three films. So, you know, let's not get all worked up and say we're going to have three Han Solo films. That is how I perceived things, because we see that sort of thing happen all the time in Hollywood. I mean, look at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, or Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark, that sort of thing. However, it has since been confirmed by several people, including Kathleen Kennedy, that he is not going to appear in Rogue One.
Okay. And that makes sense to me. I think he's too young to be Han Solo at that point.
And additionally, he would be a distraction.
Well, that's mm-hmm. true. Yeah, definitely.
Everyone would be anticipating it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's where things stand right now. He's contracted for three films. So, they have... The way things work in Hollywood, based on my understanding and the types of things we've seen in the past, is that, number one, again, those are appearances. So it could be one major film and, you know, two cameos. Or number two, it can be that they're going to do one major film and they just want to have him almost like on retainer. Like they want to keep him contractually obligated to appear down the line should they ever choose to. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have specific plans as of right now, or intention even. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, the other thing about future films, and this is completely unofficial, this is a result of an interview question, don't get your hopes up or anything, but J.J. Abrams was approached about, are there any other Star Wars projects that he might be interested in taking on? And he responded that he would be possibly interested in a Star Wars spinoff movie about the Knights of Ren. So it's kind of hard to have too much of an opinion on that right now, because we don't really know much about the Knights of Ren, and we assume we're going to get more of that in Episode 8. But what do you guys think about that? Is that something you would like to see as a spinoff film, or is that something that you think they need to dedicate time to in the saga and then save these spinoff films for other things like, I don't know, Kenobi or whatever, Hera the bus driver? You know, Lou will be first in line for that one. You know, what do you guys think about a Knights of Ren film or a Han Solo trilogy? Like, looking down the pipe into the future, where do you want to see the spinoff films go?
I don't want a Han Solo trilogy. I can tell you that much right now.
Okay.
Unless it involved Harrison Ford and Chewbacca pre The Force Awakens. That's the only way I would take it.
Well, if it involves Harrison Ford post The Force Awakens, that could be kind of grisly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So you're saying, and just Harrison Ford, that's the deal breaker for you?
Yes. I mean, I will go again. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I will go see the Han Solo, young Han Solo movie, but I don't have high hopes for it at all. And as for what I would want to see, I still hope that a Kenobi movie is made eventually. But I'd definitely be all about this Knights of Ren stuff.
Okay. All right, Lou, what do you think?
I mean, I'm right there with you, Chris, on the whole Han Solo thing. I mean, I'm dubious at best about what the Han Solo movie is going to be to begin with. But, you know, okay, if people want it, I'm sure it's going to be a big movie, and you know, I'll go see it. The Knights of Ren, though, I disagree. I want to see that as, I want to have information about what that is in part of the movies coming up. Does it need its own trilogy, or does it need its own spinoff movie? I don't know. I'm interested in it. I want to know about it, but I just don't think we have to go there. Hmm. I mean, it depends on how involved it gets, I guess, with the story. I mean, you know, to me, it's like, okay, well, how much time has gone by here? I mean, he's, you know, how old is Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens? Do we know? Roughly early 20s?
That seems to be the case, yeah.
Okay, so
I thought he was like late 20s, around 30.
Okay, 20 something seems to be,
because he's significant. Well, not significantly, but he's quite a bit older than Ray is.
Okay.
Okay.
Because she's around 20 and he's around 30. I know that.
Okay. So, you know, at some point in the whole backstory, I mean, we don't know anything about his backstory at all besides, you know, he was trained by Luke a little bit. He went off on his own. He, you know, I don't know. You know, we don't know what that whole scenario entailed, but how much of that is Knights of Ren? How much of the Knights of Ren is because of him? You know, was it... I just don't think we need to get more information in episode 8 and 9 about that before I can make a decision of whether I really want to see a movie about the Knights of Ren.
Okay. You know, as you're talking about this, I just had a thought. J.J. Abrams is privy to the overall outline for the entire trilogy. If he's interested in doing a Knights of Ren spinoff film, that makes me wonder if he feels that that would be justified because perhaps they don't give them I don't want to say that they don't give them enough coverage in the saga, because that may be unfair. They may give them enough coverage, but they might not give them thorough coverage.
Right.
There might still be a lot more to the story that he feels would be interesting. So maybe his answer to that gives us some grounds for speculation, perhaps. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's always dangerous anytime you take something that someone says in an interview and then read things into it. But he is someone in the know, and if this is something that he feels would make for a good film, I could understand where someone would take that and say, well, then he must feel like there's a lot more there than what we're going to see in the saga. So
that's a good point. I mean, they've got to give us something in episode 8 about the Knights of Ren.
Yeah,
I mean,
they have to.
It was teased in the first movie, and you know, where did we end up at the end of Force Awakens? We have, you know, Snoke saying, you know, get Kylo Ren and bring him back to me.
Yeah,
we have to finish his training. I'm assuming at that point we're going to learn more about what his prior training was.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there's definitely, like you said, they introduce them. They have to do something with them. You don't put that in the film and just ignore it.
Well, I mean, they,
I think,
brought Darth Maul in and killed him off. So not that I'm bitter.
Oh, no, of course not. Go ahead, Joel.
I think it's going to be like the Star Wars version of Suicide Squad. It's going to be these, you know, bunch of low level villain types for their own spinoff.
Hmm.
With a cool soundtrack.
Actually, that would be fun.
You know, listen, some of the most popular Star Wars novels have been what? Tarkin, Plagueis, the Darth Maul books have done well. Darth Bane. Mm-hmm. That was a very popular series. And
well, the dark side's fun. I mean, evil is fun. We all, you know, yeah. I don't think any of us are evil. We just want to know more about it because it's so foreign to us.
Well, wait, so how can they be evil? They're knights.
That's true. They're knights. That's, you know, that's a title, an honorific title. All right. Well, we got the first Rogue One television spot, which there's not much to say about it. It's all footage we've already seen. I'm a little surprised to see a TV spot this early.
This early, yeah.
But, well, there it is. I guess maybe because Force Friday is going to be coming up in, what, about a month?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, we're doing that again?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. There's a specific date. I forget what it is. It's either like the end of August or end of September. It's coming up in sometime within a month to 2 months, sometime in that window. So
cool.
Maybe this is a way for them to kind of try to build up the hype a little bit to get the interest in the merchandising going. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know.
Interesting.
They need merchandise to get people built up about it. Just saying. Hey, I did find two black figures.
Don't
swinging
make
on the
this whole chicken and egg. Hey, I got you a Kanan.
Nice
figure. Yeah,
I picked. I'm very sad to say I bought a duplicate. I didn't think I had. I didn't update my app, and I was like, I have this one already. Darn it!
What'd you get a duplicate of?
First order TIE fighter pilot.
Oh, okay.
I have RC. I'll go return him.
There was something else. Luke Skywalker. With the Tatooine garb from A New Hope, like the outfit he was originally introduced in.
In as part of the new series or an older one?
Yeah, no, it's like number 21 or something.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I saw that today. But it was in a comic book shop, and they wanted more than retail for it. And I'm like, I don't even know if Lou wants it, so I'm going to...
Oh, I do, but I don't really want to pay a ton more than retail for things. If I find them in the stores, great, but you know, if I don't, it
wasn't a
takes...
ton more, but yeah. You know, it was like $25 instead of $19.
Okay.
So I'm like, we'll see how badly Lou wants it.
Well, actually, the two I found were like, they're $14.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, the Kanan I got was $14, so...
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Oh, and speaking of which, Joel, I'll talk to you offline, but I got your little your gift from Celebration. Well, the gift I'm reimbursing you for, but yes, I got that this weekend. It showed up while I was away at the beach, so thank you very, very much for that.
Eric's buying his own gifts.
I'm glad I could give service.
All right, one last thing before we start talking Celebration. It was mentioned last week there is another Echo Base podcast out there. And someone brought it to our attention, I think, in the Slack channel. And so we reached out to them and said, you know, hey, welcome to the Star Wars podcasting community. We're glad you're here. You might not have realized it because, you know, there are a lot of shows out there, but there already is an Echo Base podcast. Podcast out there. So, you know, for the sake of clarity for the audience and everything, you know, you might want to take that into consideration and stuff. And to their credit, they immediately said, whoa, yeah, hey, we didn't realize it. Not a problem. We are immediately going to look into a new name and everything. And they were really cool about it. So I want to give them a shout out. This is the show's going to be called Rebel Alliance Radio. And their Twitter handle is @alliance_radio. So I was talking with, I believe it was Cyrus, back and forth a little bit through email. Seems like a really cool guy. And I've not yet listened to the show. I'm still trying to catch up on audiobooks, so I am so far behind on podcast listening. I might pick this up and check it out. Like I said, they sound like, they seem like really cool guys, and I'm kind of curious now as to what the show's going to be like. But so, you know, just wanted to give a quick shout out to them. Again, Rebel Alliance Radio. Check it out. So, anything else before we jump into the bittersweet excitement of the convention that most of us desperately wanted to attend and, alas, could not? I guess not. Joel, spill the beans, man. How was it?
It was excellent. It was different because it was in Europe. Now, to give you some context, this is the sixth celebration I've been, and the second one I've been here. I was at one in Essen, Germany, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
The first one celebration was number 3 in Annapolis in 2005. So it's not my first time at a rodeo.
Okay.
And I love going to celebrations. I love the fandom. And that's one reason why I go is because I love the Star Wars community so much.
Yeah.
And it was different. I think it started off on a Thursday night at the unofficial Cantina Bash.
Okay.
Which was at the Broken Bowl, London. You have to buy private tickets. So basically, imagine this. You have Ash as a headliner. The alias they were using was the Luther Ingo Star Cruisers. And okay. Then you have these opening bands, Darth Elvis and the Imperial and Blue Harvest. And this is all for an charity, a fundraiser for Alzheimer's Society in England.
Oh, nice.
You have G.G. Elliott working the music between sets.
Awesome.
Okay. You have everyone there. David Collins shows up, plays the guitar for a couple of songs, then plays the drums.
Nice.
So I periscope much of this out on my Twitter account. So it's still up there if you want to track me down on my Twitter handle, which is Joel_Welch, my last name, W-E-L-C-H, just like the grape juice. But it's still up there. It's just amazing.
Awesome.
This is just Thursday night. What I really enjoyed, because this is, you know, what I like about Star Wars fandom and community is meeting other like podcasters or authors. And that night I got to meet Ryan Young from Full of Sith and like Trisha Barr, who's the author and Girls Going Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
James Floyd, who's writes all the time. He's the guy who's been wearing Star Wars stuff every single day this year to raise money for charity.
Nice.
And so when you listen to these podcasts, it's like, oh, look, this is Lou Secchi. My God, the Lou Secchi. And we have a conversation. It's actually really cool.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the stuff I really enjoy. And that's just the Thursday night.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
So this is how it started off.
Let me ask you this. Lineup. Let me ask you this before you go any further. Sure. Because I will admit that I went to Celebration 3, sure. And I went to Celebration Anaheim last year in 2015. I've not gone to any of the other celebrations. I've kind of kept up with the news from some of them, but I've never really paid that close attention to the ones in Europe, especially because I figured, well, I'm never going to be able to get over there. So the more I pay attention to it, the more sad I'll be about it. But and I don't, maybe you're going to get to this in a minute or not, but where were the others? You mentioned one of the Celebration Europes was in Germany.
Right.
Okay. That was the first one. Is that correct?
There was a second one.
The second
one. There was one, I think circa 2009, 2010 on there. You can find it on Google, of course, which was in the same place in London.
Okay.
So there's been, and there was one in Japan too, around I think right. 3 years before or after that one. So
okay, so this
Which
one,
also, yeah,
this one in 2016 was at the same location as the one in London had previously been. Correct.
That's right. Okay. Excel Center. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. You can proceed.
No. Okay. Let me make some general observations.
Okay.
The celebrations that are state-based, in the United States, they're much bigger in terms of visitation, in terms of fan interaction, like community involvement. I'm going to say this, when Americans do something, they do it big. And that's good. And there's lots of industry people. I really enjoy the ones in California and Florida and Indianapolis. Europe's smaller. It's a different type of clientele. There's mm-hmm. some hardcore fans, and they do a great job. I love them dearly. But it's a smaller community in Europe. So you get a lot more people who just bring their kids for the one day instead of the 4 days to experience just Star Wars stuff. So that's really cool, too.
Cool. Europeans have a little more self-control than Americans, yeah. I think. That's part of it.
I think you might be right. It's like coastal differences. I mean, it's still the West, right? So it's still really cool.
Yeah.
Here's one. Okay, so after the bash, the Thursday night bash, right? So Cantina bash. So I started waiting in line, and they implemented this policy where they issue wristbands for the main celebration stage mm-hmm. at 6 o'clock in the morning. So you figure the line's going to be a very typical celebration line. There are lots of fans doing, wild and do the whole really bonding thing, right? And the first night, pretty much so. Doesn't compare to, say, U.S.-based celebrations, but it was a good line.
Mm-hmm.
I met other podcasters. I met Dominic Jones from Star Wars Underworld. I met Phil Saunders, the Australian comedian who who's doing well in the Star Wars world in terms of the Steel's War podcast. These guys are just, you know, basically like myself, or if, say, Lou Secchi ever got to the celebration in London, England, sitting in the line, just chatting with everyone.
Cool.
You know, and I really, really enjoyed that part. But it's the wristbands. So, in other words, it wasn't huge lines, and it's in England. So, at 6 o'clock in the morning, they gave out the wristbands. And I did this for 3 straight nights without sleep. Of course, the celebration doesn't actually open, like, the floodgates at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. So you have 4 hours of dead time.
Right.
And most people who show up early got the wristbands. But if you really want to make sure you got in, you had to do the all-nighters. And you would think, hey, why don't you just, you know, show up at 4 o'clock in the morning and walk in? Well, unfortunately, I was staying at a buddy's place on his couch, and you have the underground, the subway system. And it's really good, except for the fact that it starts, the first train's at 6 a.m. and runs about midnight. And that's it. So it's not like you take the train in the middle of the night to get down to the XL Center to wait in line.
Right.
And that's, so it's England. England, the stores, everything, they tend to open late and close early. Like the Thursday night bash closed at like 11 o'clock at night. Whereas a lot of bars in North America, they only start getting going at that time.
Well, yeah, you know, Joel, the really good news about that is if you want to go to Celebration in London next time, you don't have to buy a room. You just, you know, you wait in line overnight. And
Well, the other thing is that what was cool is that you could bring your own beer in line. So people were drinking beer in line and security didn't care.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Control.
Yeah. Oh, Joel, I could have stood in line with you. Jeez.
I know. I'm just jealous because you're going to a New York Comic Con and I'm not. So
I'm pretty sure they bring beer in line at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, every time you want a beer at New York Comic Con, Lou, just think about the fact that Joel got to and you don't.
Well, every time I want a beer, I'll go to the concession stand and pay like $40 for one.
Well, so there's that too.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, it was organized well in the sense that there was a single restaurant that was open, which was serving food and coffee, which is good.
Cool.
So a big shout out to the Talent Kitchen at the XL Center because their staff worked their butts off. It was just a really cool experience. Just to change certain other things, if you ask me, rhetorically, of course, is what was the coolest thing I went to and saw? It was by far this virtual reality trial on Tatooine, the ILM Labs,
yeah,
which they're expanding. That was amazing.
Sorry, I would have loved that.
Tell us a little bit about that. Get into the specifics a little bit for us.
Okay,
tell us about the sand.
Yeah, other than the sand. I don't need to hear about the sand.
No, Eric wants to hear about the sand. Make sure you tell them all about the sand.
Okay, so you had to get these pre-passes, right? Okay, so one of the mornings when I waited in line, and I got in at 10 o'clock in the morning, I ran and I got the pre-pass for like that afternoon.
Cool.
So I showed up. Oh, that's cool. Walk right in. Okay, there was a group of maybe 15 people. They made us watch a video, how to put on the headset video. And we got briefed for about 5 or 10 minutes. It was really cool. And then you went into these individual rooms, and there's a technician there who puts helmet with an eye goggle thing that covers 2/3 of your face over your face and explains to you that, yeah, don't make any sudden movements. If you feel I'm touching you, then stop. All the safety stuff.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, just hit this button. Here's your remote. So you have this kind of like a TV remote in your hand almost, right? Okay. Which turns out to be your lightsaber when you go to the scenario and the virtual reality thing. And it's awesome. Now, I don't think the technology is quite there yet, but it's coming, and it's coming fast. Within a year, 2-3 years, it's going to be all over the place.
Nice.
It has such great potential. I just checked Lucas Recruiting, their job site. And they're hiring a bunch of people to work on this ILM lab, you know, VR stuff.
Yeah, they're being very aggressive about it.
Yeah. So you know, that was awesome. So you go through the scenario, and it's a very basic storyline. But you get to see the Millennium Falcon. You get to see R2-D2. You get to get into a little firefight/fight with stormtroopers. It's cool.
Nice. So... So, how how responsive, you said it's got a ways to go, and that's to be expected. Yeah. I mean, this is still relatively new technology. It's just now starting to hit consumer availability, and a lot of people are expecting that the PlayStation VR system that's coming out in October is going to really be where it starts to permeate the consumer market a little bit more. Where is it at right now? Like, how responsive is the head turning? And did you, people talk about motion sickness and stuff like that. And also the lightsaber, how responsive is that aspect of it?
Okay. It's kind of like, it's not in real time, but it's near real time.
Okay.
So it's like, I know most of the listenership would not have worn night vision goggles, but it's very much like that.
Okay.
So when you have a lightsaber in your hand and you have stormtroopers shooting at you with laser bolts and you get to deflect the bolts, it's that fast.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah. So it didn't feel artificial. Within about 2 minutes, you're actually so immersed. It's definitely second city, whatever it is, element. It's going to be part of our world really soon. I can see VR going lots of different places.
Hmm. Okay.
And I'm not a video game. I'm not a gamer per se. I don't mind that. It's just I'm too busy with my work and life.
Right.
But it's... I can suspect a merger between the gaming systems and VR systems sometime in the very near future.
Okay. So you were very impressed with this then?
Yes. That's one of the reasons why I go to Celebration, to see the new stuff where things are going.
Right.
And to see Star Wars combined with a new tech. That's amazing.
Yeah. Now they're saying that this particular one that you experienced, they're making available for free my mind is blanked what's the one that's been the system everybody's been following all this time for the VR stuff? Lou, you should know this.
I am drawing a blank.
Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. It's not the PlayStation VR. It's the one that, anyway. Okay.
Oh, you mean the one for like where you slide your phone into a cardboard box?
No, not the Google Cardboard. You have to plug it into a computer. It's got to be.
Oculus Rift.
Oculus. Thank you. I can't believe I'm like, duh. Yeah. I no, the Oculus too. Rift. Apparently it's, it should be available right now, if I recall correctly. For free.
Yeah, I saw the headline. It's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then apparently they're working on another one that is a little more story-based and features Darth Vader. They didn't have any demos available of it, but apparently that's coming down the pipe too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
All right, so what else stood out for you as far as like individual attractions or... either panels you got to visit or booths that you saw or different things like that. What other interesting.
Yeah. Everyone's going to report on things like the teaser trailer for Rogue One or Thrawn confirmation. This was amazing, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ashoka Untold Tales. I wasn't at that one, but I heard really good things about that. And I did get to see season 3 Rebels, the first two episodes, the pilot or the first full-length 60-minute episode, okay. Which is cool.
I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is... Would it be a spoiler to ask whether Thrawn appears in the first episode or two, guys? What do you think? Lou, Chris?
I don't think it's a spoiler because something tells me that this has already been revealed.
Oh, has it? Okay. I've been avoiding it all this time, but okay. So Joel is Thrawn in the first episode or two.
Well, I think it's fairly safe to say that Thrawn makes an appearance in season 3.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. Otherwise I owe Dave Filoni a big punch in the face.
Has to start somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's good enough. All right.
Yeah, moving on. Okay. other things. Cosplayers. The cosplay. I've never done cosplay. I have all the respect in the world because I know what it takes to put the time, effort, and cost to have these costumes and just go out, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe someday I'll jump into that world. But there was a full-size Silicious Trum cosplayer, which was excellent.
Nice.
Well, that's an unusual, cosplay.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? What else? Oh, Saturday night. So, in other words, this is, it's like day two without any sleep. I actually managed to get like 4 hours sleep the night before in line. And there was one bar which was right next to the convention center. It's part of the convention center. It's called a Fox XL Bar and Restaurant. And it's a huge patio and huge inside. And I was there briefly the night before, having a couple pints, and just ramful with Star Wars fans, of course, of all shapes and sizes, and aliens and whatever. And so Saturday night, I'm looking for a place to drink because I'm wanting to go in line, but it's too early just to go in line yet. So it's the bar. It's full of Star Wars fans. So cool. I walk in, and the guy stops me. The bouncer says, okay, this is for Star Wars stuff. Like, I'm a Star Wars fan. Look at the shirt I'm wearing. Okay, fine. He lets me in. another person gave me like two free drink tickets and says, oh, free t-shirts are in the back. I actually managed to crash the EA release party for the Star Wars The Old Republic Knights of the Fallen Empire update.
Nice!
It was amazing. So it's cool.
Good job.
So here I am, and because it's English, everyone talks to each other, okay?
Right.
Not more people. This is what Solid Bears are about. I love these social interactions. I know in Germany, in Essen, one of my favorite experiences then was that they showed Return of the Jedi outside on an outside screen in a park, which was literally about a 10-minute walk away from the convention center. So imagine being like in this huge park and there's about 500 fans watching it on a big screen. And there's like bear boots all around. So it's kind of, that's something that I think Lemon didn't have, and I missed that.
Yeah.
But it's all, this is what European celebrations are about, smaller interactive versus just the massive, thousands and thousands of fans marching in formation.
Okay.
So it's different. Both are good, but it's just there's certain differences.
It's a more intimate experience, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. The other things I think this celebration, I like the live stream option. I'm sure everyone who wasn't there liked the live stream option.
They did a really good job with that.
Yeah. You're right. I think, in hindsight, if next celebration, I may only do the overnighter once because I'm sealed for this and they just catch on the live stream. But the other thing is hotel rooms. I think it's almost mandatory to get a hotel room right next to the convention center. You pay the extra bucks.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, if you do what I did and couch surf on a friend's couch, literally like 12 subway stops away, it's not going to work out. Because I was running home while we're near his place late afternoon just to shower, change, and back on the tube. And that doesn't work out that well because you need to be rested enough that you really enjoy the experience. And I got to the point where I was so exhausted, I wasn't enjoying it. The whole Carrie Fisher thing, Warwick Davis, I actually fell asleep for 10 minutes. Like, who falls asleep watching Carrie Fisher?
That's a good question.
Okay.
That's the tough thing, though, about conventions is, finding that balance between making sure that you're taking advantage of the experience and getting to experience as much as you can, and yet still taking care of your physiological needs, whether it be making sure you're eating enough and properly, making sure you stay hydrated, and then making sure that you get downtime and rest and sleep. And that can be really difficult.
You need a base of operations, either a table there with other people, like in terms of like a club of some type or a podcast,
mm-hmm.
or you need to have a hotel room nearby where you can go and just dump things or catch 2 hours sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, just kind of a behind the scenes concern here for us going forward with Celebration next year. That's actually probably my biggest logistical concern, is just not having that base of operations there at Celebration. I mean, we're not going to have a table or a booth or anything, and that can make all the difference in the world, especially if you are then doing something where you're trying to provide coverage of the convention. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. So if you don't have a table or a booth or an organization that you're part of that where you know you can leave items that you purchase, or you can go and sit and take a break and grab a snack or something like that, you really do need to have hotel rooms really close by that you can duck out of, go back to the hotel room, and then come back a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a big deal. And I think that you're right, Joel. It actually is worth whatever extra money it ends up costing. I think that of all of the different things you could invest in for going to a convention, that may be perhaps the single most important one. It really does make a big difference.
Yeah.
So are there any other big ways in which the European, or even this specific Celebration, differed from the ones that are in the U.S. as far as the experience of doing it?
Well, let me put it this way, and let me tell you a very brief story.
Okay.
So I was in Orlando, and I'm not sure what year it was, but the second one in Orlando, so number six.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Thursday night, and I think you get it by my personality that I like the pub scene. So I went down to this big Irish pub, right, you know, very near to the convention center, and I sat there and I had a couple of pints of beer. I met this one guy by the name of John McMahon. He's from the Republic of Ireland, and he's with the Emerald Garrison, which is a cosplay stormtrooper type outfit that's not affiliated with the 501st. I don't know why, but it's just not.
Okay.
And John is an older guy. He's in the army in Irish Republic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lots of pints of beer. And of course, fast forward 5 years, 6 years, guess who I saw online? It's John. So he kind of, hey, I know you. And I'm like, I know you. And this is what, so you actually get both. So it's not like, oh, it's the European celebrations versus the American celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
There's overlap.
Right.
And that's what I really enjoy. And it's because it's Star Wars, and you have lots of people because they have the money, or because they're close, or they're part of the industry, but they go to all these different celebrations every year. Like I do. So every year I go to this different celebration. Mm-hmm. Now, Europe is way expensive. It's much more expensive than American ones because of the cost. Like,
yeah.
So everything in England, everything you think like beer or food or whatever, it costs about twice as much as it does in North America, even with the currency exchange being favorable right now. So it's like, if I go to, like, someone who's never been to a celebration and who's living in North America, I would say go to an American one.
Okay.
Don't go overseas because of the logistical issues and the cost. But if you've been to the American ones and you want to experience what it's like to go to Europe, by all means, because it's fairly unique.
Yeah. And you know, the more you talk about it, you know, the American ones, it is a very big production and all that. But there is kind of an appeal to the idea of going to something that is it's still large, and it's still, I don't know that dazzling is the right word, but, you know, there's still a lot of goings on, and yet it still has a little more of an intimate feel to it, something that's a little, not so much smaller scale, but it sounds almost like it's more personalized, like it's not like being lost in a crowd in the same way that you feel at some of the American events.
Yeah, I think I made this point previously in some other chat room podcast with you guys. But you see the celebration in Essen in Germany a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you have continental Star Wars fans. And you look at them, and they're doing cosplay, and they put together the costume a couple of days before.
Mm-hmm.
All right? and they did their best, and they just really enjoy it and are right into character versus many cosplayers in Canada and the United States who spend literally months upon months upon months developing this awesome, you know, costume. Like, who finds more satisfaction? I don't know. Both are equally cool. You know, both are really cool in their own way.
And both are enjoying the experience fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In their own way. And this is, yeah, I can't say enough good things about celebrations. I do think things like that, if they implement wristband policies in Orlando, it's going to be problematic, especially if it's going to be a period of dead time where they hand out the wristbands at 6 a.m. and they don't open the gates till 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Dealing with the volume of the greater volume of fans down in there in Orlando in April 2017, I think that's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
You know, we Reed Pop is the company who handles Celebration, and they also handle New York Comic Con. And New York Comic Con last year was my first experience with that. Lou, you and I went down there, and mm-hmm. you had to wait in line. And we had press passes, too. But there was a separate line to wait in for the press that went, of course, down the block and around the corner and all that. And so you had to wait in line to get into the building to then go down and wait in line in the basement to get the wristband for whatever main panel it was you wanted to go to. And I say wristband singular because the chance of you getting two were very unlikely. By that I mean, you know, one for a certain panel in the morning and one for a certain panel in the afternoon. No, by the time you got out of that first line, the second line that you might want to go get into for a different wristband is already gone. So you wait in line outside to get in. You wait in line in the basement to get the wristbands. Then when the panel comes along, you wait in line at the panel to get the seats you want. And, you know, it was organized okay, but they didn't have that sort of thing at Celebration Anaheim. And I kind of felt like Celebration Anaheim, with the exception of the 3D viewing that was apparently a mess.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like Anaheim didn't feel quite as stressful about it as New York Comic Con did. Like, I felt like New York Comic Con was organized well, but you were still jumping through a lot of hoops. Lou, did you have the same feeling, or did you feel, what was your take on all that?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same thing you just said. I mean, New York Comic Con changed in the 2 years I've been to it. So the first year, press got in earlier, I guess, which was nice. And you could kind of get, you know, kind of up in the queue earlier. But last year just seemed to be maybe more people there because, yeah, I was able to get a couple of wristbands the first year on each day, depending on which ones you wanted to go see. But you're right. This past year, you know, you got one, maybe a second one, but most time it was just the one. So you pick the one you really want to go see, and that's the one you stand in line for. But yeah, the only thing that had the big long lines in Anaheim was really just the opening, stint, right? I mean, that one you needed a wristband for, mm-hmm. and people were in line overnight for that one. But other than that, I don't think there's any overnight lines at Anaheim, was there?
Nothing I can think of, no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, granted, totally different amount of people at New York Comic Con versus Celebration, even the U.S. Celebrations.
But I could see, after TFA came out and the success that it was, and now Rebel Season 3 is ramping up to be even more epic than Season 2, and then we've got Rogue One, and then Episode 8 is going to be coming out next year. It seems like I am starting to think that this next celebration could be significantly bigger than the last one, and it wouldn't surprise me if they do go with a wristband system. And Joel, I'm worried that I may agree with you that it might not go over as well.
Yeah, I can see that. And the problem is, it's one thing if you have fans lining up overnight, and then the time comes and, okay, release the hounds through the open gate and they take their seats.
Right.
It's quite another thing to do this, okay, wait, it's 6 a.m., here's your wristband. You can either run to try to get another wristband, or you can, you know, die for 4 hours because it's dead space.
Right.
In terms of time. Okay. What, do you go back and try to get 2 hours sleep in your hotel room?
Yeah.
And it almost defeats the excitement level.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's one other question I really wanted to ask you about your experience with this, and I think that it's relevant specifically to the people who would have to travel a longer distance to get to Celebration Europe, and perhaps this would be relevant next year for Europeans who may not be able to travel as far to get to North America. With the fact that it was being streamed live. Now, I know that they did not do live stream coverage of all of the panels. Specifically, the Future Filmmakers panel was one that a lot of people wanted to have been able to see, and that was not streamed. But I know that there were some people who were thinking, if they're just going to stream all of this anyway, and I can get what is basically a professional video close-up with microphones and all of that from the comfort of my own home, is like, do you regret going to Celebration when you could have gotten a lot of this stuff just over a live stream?
Absolutely not. Let me use this analogy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I used to play sports when I was in high school. I played rugby, okay? I played football. I wasn't very good at it, but I played, right? Mm-hmm. I would much rather be playing the sport than watching on TV. I would much rather being part of the community, going out, interacting with fans from all over the world, talking about a fandom that I have a passion for, that I love, than simply downloading and watching it. And then just, typing in on Twitter or on Facebook or on any of these social media platforms. There's something to be said about doing things in person. And I'm a huge proponent of that, because that's how we grow as a fandom, but more importantly, as people, and as a person, as an individual.
Right.
You know, these common experiences.
Right. Well, I mean,
and just to go on, quite frankly, I like the big panels. I also like the small panels. You know, I went to a panel on Hardcore Sciences in Star Wars fandom and Star Wars community. It's about how you have Star Wars and fandom, how that affects real people in their career aspirations in terms of scientific research, where they're going. I remember, I think it was in Orlando, there was a bunch of people who worked for NASA in the room.
Right.
I like these smaller panels because you get all different perspectives.
Yeah.
And I'm not a science guy. I'm a humanities guy. I'm a liberal arts guy. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, and you talked too a lot about people you met and interactions you've had and stuff like that. And I have to say that I have some incredibly fond memories of Celebration Anaheim, the one I attended. I mean, just many, 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 many fond memories of that. And at the end of the day, 2 or 3 years from now, I'm still going to have a fondness and recollection of all of those experiences I had. And I'm not going to have any of that for this year when I was sitting at home watching it on live stream and just getting the news.
Right.
So there's a difference between, yes, you can watch the streams and you can get the information, versus you can be there and experience something that you otherwise wouldn't get to experience. Like, that becomes an event in your life that you're going to reflect back on. You're going to tell your friends about it. You're going to tell stories about it. You're going to use that as a moment of comparison to other life events you've had. So, you know, I did hear a lot of people talking about, oh, well, you know, with the live stream, it kind of makes it so we don't even need to go. Well, yeah, I mean, you might not need to go to get the information, but I mean, even in the past, you've been able to get information from blogs. I mean, people post this stuff online as soon as it happens, but that's not the point. The point is getting to go and be in a group of other Star Wars fans and interact with them and share those experiences. And, you know, I mean, we met, honestly, we were sitting in one spot for a lot of Celebration Anaheim, and yet we still, through the podcast, got to meet so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Well, you know, I was just going to say too, Eric, I mean, in addition to what you're saying about being there and that's the experience, that's what you're going to talk about. I mean, more of the things I remember fondly from that convention were the interactions with people and who was with me at certain events, not really the event itself.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, the you know, seeing the Rogue One stuff at the last day there, it was great. But I remember being there with you, you know, and I remember, you know, us talking about that and in line to get into that. And then just the reactions after that, you know, it was the interactions with everybody there, not right. just what we actually saw.
That was mm-hmm. that was the moment where we actually learned how on top of things Chris is. And the fact that we can abuse him eternally if we just bring him out in the shows, then, you know, he can be what actually keeps us up and running and we don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah, but I mean, you're right. It was all of those interactions and those moments in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those mm-hmm. were where those memories are made.
Let me tell you a very quick interaction I had at Celebration.
Okay.
Because it's putting some of my perspective into my personal experience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I went to Celebration number 3 in Annapolis in 2005. I went because my older brother wanted to go, and I do things with my older brother. So I always liked Star Wars. But this is 2005. I was not a huge prequel fan at the time. I liked the original prequels. Jar Jar Binks still drives me up the wall. But I went because, it's science, it's Star Wars, that's my brother's story. Mm-hmm. So I was skeptical. And I was doing a bit of I was working in, you know, a job that was a bit macho. So basically people were making fun of me and okay, that's fine. So I went. And so I went to the celebration. I enjoyed myself. I think day 2, day 3, just when you know, it's just you're emotionally or your sensory overload.
You
the first time you experience cosplay at that level, you just want to take a timeout. So I took a timeout.
Yeah.
I walked across the street to the Starbucks to have a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I drank coffee, not there. So, and I walked in, and there was an older gentleman there doing the same thing. He was signing autographs. Who is he? Well, his name's Barry Holland. He had a very small role in The Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
He's the actor who was playing an Imperial officer who said, "You rebel scum."
You rebel scum.
He captured Han Solo. Okay. He's a British soap opera guy from like the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had a little chit chat over coffee for 20 minutes.
Yep.
And we talked about Star Wars. He was saying, "Hey, the Lucasfilm threw me out here on their dime. I'm very happy to do this. I love the fans." And it was, that's a great interaction.
Yeah.
You know? That's kind of how, you know, I see it. Much earlier in this podcast, we're talking Jedi as a religion. This is like me going to church. I go to church every year, right?
Yeah.
In terms of a celebration, because it brings me the sense of community.
That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to, you know, to assuage those who may be offended by the comparison of, you know,
a
film convention to religion. But I mean, you hit on something that's really important there, because it truly is. A lot of people, one of the things that they get out of going to church or synagogue or whatever your place of worship is that fellowship with other people who have that in common with you. You might not have a lot of other things in common with those individuals, but that, you know, your religion, that is something that you do share with them. That's an important part of your life. And it's the same sort of thing when you go to, when you're a fan of something and you go to a convention and you meet other fans. There are a lot of people that you get to meet at things like this that you don't necessarily have anything else in common with, but you have this in common with, and you have a passion for it and you can share that with other people. And it's an overwhelming experience in some ways. You mentioned sensory overload. You get the visual sensory overload of the fact that there are so many different things to focus on at once. But then you also almost get it. It's not really a euphoria, but you get, I mean, for the most part, everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. And that gets contagious. And you're just like, you can forget all of the things in life that are bothering you and, you know, your job and politics and all of that kind of stuff. And you can just be there in the moment and say, wow, this is really cool. Everything I'm really into, I can stand in one spot in the middle of this giant room and just turn 360 degrees around. And I'm surrounded by things that I love and people who love the same things that I love. And that can actually be a form of a kind of a sensory overload as well. And you're not
going to work.
What's that?
Eric, I love the word that you use, fellowship. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're never going to get that from a live stream. Yeah, you can get on Twitter, and that's a good thing to do. You know, share that that excitement with other people online as you're able to. But there's a presence of being in the room with other people, and that's part of what that fellowship is. And I mean, that's a powerful thing. And that's an exciting thing about fandom. That's something that if you've never gotten to experience, I think that all four of us would agree that it's something that at least once you should plan on attending one of the Star Wars conventions. If you're a fan of something other than Star Wars, that's fine too. Go to a Doctor Who convention. Mm-hmm. If you're into Transformers, go to BotCon. You know, Star Trek conventions, whatever. New York Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, South by Southwest, whatever it is that is relatively nearby you. It's at a time of year where you can get time off of work. If you're able to go, yeah, it might be a little bit costly. It might be something you can only do once or maybe once every several years. But if you are enough interested in fan culture that you're listening to the podcasts that we do here on the network, then you're probably interested enough that you're really, really going to enjoy those experiences. You are that demographic. And if you've never gone before, you owe it to yourself to, I mean, you know what? You're going to be dead someday. You only get to live one time.
God, way to bring us down, Eric.
See, Lou, you're looking at it the wrong way.
You're going to be dead someday.
You are. We all are. And life is about experiences, and life is about sharing those experiences with one another as well. This is something that you owe it to yourself to get to experience. It's important. It might seem silly to your coworkers and your neighbors and stuff like that, but you know, this sort of thing, whether it's a big thing like San Diego Comic Con, which I think technically is still maybe the biggest out there. New York Comic Con is pushing it though. Or whether it's just a local comic book convention, you know, whatever it is, it's worth getting out and checking out. So, all right, we're running about an hour and a half. Joel, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us? Any other experiences you had or any other points you wanted to make before we bring the show to a close?
You know, I think not. I think what you said about, you know, going to one of these fellowship gatherings or fandom comics, like, I don't care if you're into NFL football and go to the draft one year. It's something that people of you know who share a common interest can talk about it. And you know, I'm a big community guy. I think everyone should be active in the community, and I think there's more than one community. Like, I just urge people to follow their passions and to enjoy life and be respectful. Mm-hmm. So, and that's about it for preaching.
All right.
And
you mentioned
stuff on celebrations, keep everyone employed.
So, and you did mention football. So now I got to pull the plug on you. You know, we can't have that on one of the random chatter shows. You know how sports go over. If you'd said hockey, I might have forgiven you, though. Hockey's okay.
No, your audience.
Yeah, well, I know that is the one. If there is a single unequivocal point of disconnect that I have with our audience, yeah, it is definitely sports. I'll work on it.
Good enough.
I'm working on. I moved to New England, and there's some like football guy up here that's supposed to be real popular. And the Patriots, I guess, are supposed to be really good. Like I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Oh boy.
I'll definitely leave it there. But we're going to leave the show right there with you guys. We want to thank Joel. Thank you so much, man, for taking notes on stuff you saw over there and for covering the convention and being here with us tonight and sharing this with us. I think that it's easy for the people in North America. If they can't travel over to London to, they get the news bits and they're done. And I think sometimes it's cool to get to share the experience of being over there and the impact that it has as a fan. Because really, that's a lot of what the conventions are about. So, Joel, thank you for joining us tonight and for hanging out and sharing that with us. That was really cool.
Yeah. No, thank you. It's my pleasure. I really enjoy the stuff. Unfortunately, when we record this podcast, it's usually really late. I'm usually really tired. But hopefully I do contribute to the discussion, and that's my goal. And I really enjoy this stuff. To me, it's like I said, it's all about community. It's about giving back, and it's about just caring and discussing this great world of Star Wars.
Absolutely. So thanks again. Well, and you mentioned lateness. We're actually going to start, hopefully fairly soon, we'll start recording back at our 9 o'clock time on Tuesday nights instead of running so late, but we're working on that. All right. So again, if you're not already following Joel on Twitter, Joel, your Twitter handle is Lou. I did the handle thing. It got me going. See? Now.
It's a thing. Really?
Your Twitter username is Joel _ Welch, right?
That's right.
All right.
Joel _WELCH.
All right. And of course, you're also in our Slack community for Random Chatter. So if people are interested in joining us there, you can head over to patreon.com/randomchatter and do that. We would encourage that. But for now, if you have any questions or comments or anything you want to chime in about, shoot us an email. I know we talked about a lot of things here on the show. And even before the celebration discussion, there were a couple of news items. Let us know what you think. Send us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork is where you can find us on Facebook. On Twitter, your handles, of course, for the show. We're looking at Echo Base Podcast for the show. Random Chatter @randomchatter is the Twitter feed for the network itself. You can find me on Twitter @LouSecki. That's LouSecki. And Eric, Chris, where can they find you?
I'm @TheCurseOfChris.
And Eric, where can they find you?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. It's ERIKBLYTHE. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. I believe, if I recall correctly, though Jay is currently on vacation to Europe because he's a punk and didn't invite any of us. But that's okay. We still love him anyway. But I believe after he gets back, there are going to be some new episodes of some of the shows with he and Josh. So definitely looking forward to that. Lou, there's been a couple of new announcements from Fantasy Flight Games.
I know. We got to get another one recorded. That new Dyson card game sounds awesome.
Oh, dude. I am all. What is it called? Destiny?
I think so. I saw the clip about it. I read it. I'm like, ooh, I got to look into that more.
I'm already addicted to it.
Nice.
Already an addict. That is, I've been waiting for FFG to do something Star Wars related that is also a collectible game. And I know that some people might not like that, but there are a lot of people who are going to love it. And I'm going to be all over that. So anyway, we're going to be hopefully covering that on the Sabacc table soon. Keep an eye out for that. And of course, the latest show, Cordcast. Chris, that's monthly. Is that correct?
Correct. We will be doing our August episode soon. We wanted to do a second July episode, but unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to schedule a recording time. But we're going to have one for August here soon. So.
Okay. You know, if that was Joel's fault by any chance, then you need to tell her that the next time she screws up the scheduling, she has to watch a Star Wars movie.
Ooh, there you go.
That leaves her seven chances.
The funny thing is, I should probably, I think I'm going to text her that and just see what she says.
Okay. So.
Yeah, new network policy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you guys can spread the word about the show if you like. Leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher. It helps get our name out there. And don't forget to tell your friends about us as well.
And another great way to listen to the show is doing it live with us when we record. As Eric said a few minutes ago, we record live on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Tuesdays right now, we're at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Thursdays, we're doing 9 p.m. Eastern time with two shows on Thursday. You can find those by going to randomchatter.com/live. You can also listen to them on Ustream.
And that's actually another way that you can communicate with Joel, because Joel is often there in the chat room with us.
That's true.
Yeah, it keeps me out of the bar. So,
hey, there you go.
Oh, come on, Joel. I know you're in the chat room at the bar.
Oh, all right. Well, that's about it. Quick shout out to our Patreon donors. Joe, Joel, Jared and Jared, Eric, Bradley, Chad, Kyle, Carrie, Morgan, Chickafant, The Blake and Sal Show, Alex, Jeremy, Tim, and I think I got a couple more I've got to add to the list here. Thanks to everyone who's helped out with that, helping keep the show running and the lights on. We got a couple of features that we're adding. We just, as of tonight, we now have an official Random Chatter hotline that we will be announcing the number for after I set up the voicemail greeting. If I announced it right now, it would be pretty sad because you have reached blah, 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 blah. The number, it would be really. But we are going to be able to use that not only for guests and things like that, but also, you know, we may set up kind of a call-in show or something like that. We'll take maybe an evening, a little earlier in the evening, so more people can participate, and we'll do kind of a live show, ask me anything sort of thing. And it's stuff like that allows that to happen. I know it seems like a small, insignificant thing, but those costs do add up, and it is definitely something we're very grateful to our donors for. Again, patreon.com/randomchatter. That system allows us to give something back, and we talked earlier about the Slack channel. That's probably our favorite reward, I guess, kickback, however you want to look at it, for the donors, because it's yet another way in which we get to interact with everybody, and it's a lot of fun. So you've heard us talk about it before. If you're interested, head over to the website and check that out. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of Echo Base. I know this has run a little bit long, but I think it was worth it. And thank you for sticking around and listening all the way through. And we will see you again in about a week. Until then, stay chilly and cool. Keep the air conditioning on, and we'll see you then. Take care.
The Force will be with you always.